good morning and welcome to Politics 101. Today we're going to be talking about what happens after the US election. Well, as we see that polls have failed to tell us who was going to be the next president of the United States, we know that the favorite hobby to the Americans is coming up with conspiracy theories. With subjects ranging from aliens to the existence of Illuminati, right in the middle of them we find the US presidential election. And hosting a podcast, we are gonna have Cami, Rial, and Sarah.
A 50-foot-tall wall. 30,000 deleted secret government emails. Barack Obama's birth certificate was faked and he founded the Islamic State. The Clintons are killers and the father of a rival was with Lee Harvey Oswald before he shot John F. Kennedy. Truth or lie? These are the conspiracy theories poisoning the bloodstream that is the social network we are all connected to, brainwashing us through the new world order governed by the propaganda spewed by mainstream media. But what is this method of misleading the innocent, gullible people into believing a person withholding so much authority and power to the point of putting their ultimate faith in them in order for them to win a presidential election?
Well, I was told I was going to get my job back.
This is Savannah McMarthy from Alabama, and she's here to illustrate an example on how it is so effortlessly easy to be brainwashed by President-elect Donald Trump.
I was not brainwashed. My eyes were simply opened to the truth. That is that America needs to be great again, and I will be, thanks to Trump's policies and values.
But are you aware that the policies Trump is feeding his audience are actually something known as post-truth politics?
I've never heard of that.
So what are post-truth politics exactly? As we've mentioned, Mr. Trump is the leading exponent of post-truth policies, a reliance on assertions that feel true but have no basis in fact. His brazenness is not punished, but taken as evidence of his willingness to stand up to elite power. And he is not alone.
He is, however, the perfect example.
President Trump promised us that our tasks will go down, our jobs opportunities will rise, and we will become millionaires. Now that's what America's really about.
Surely you must know that this is all a form of propaganda to gain your votes as a president.
Clearly it isn't. He's a very good businessman and self-made man as well. Sure, he started with a loan from his father, but he lost it all then regained it. I believe that's what he'll do for many of us who are struggling economically.
So what do we now think about today's politics, as post-truth politics is used by political figures all across the globe? Are they real? Do they seem logical to you? Or are they all conspiracy theories? There's no possible way of knowing what's true and what isn't, as it is impossible to fact-check every single bit of information that goes through social media, which means that, in the end, the only information we will receive will be through our world political leaders, whether or not it is the truth.
Thank you.
We sent our interviewer Kevin on the spot to interview Mr. Gibran about the new reform of the Electoral College.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm here with Gibran and we'll be discussing if the Electoral College should be reformed following the controversial US elections. In retrospect to the recent elections in the US, where Donald Trump won the electoral vote but lost the popular vote, and where there was a huge backlash from the media and the citizens, I want to ask you today if we should reform the Electoral College. May I remind you that this is the fourth time that the candidate won the electoral vote but lost the popular vote.
Well, thank you, Kevin. And indeed, the late American elections are source of controversy. But I think if we were to understand them, we should go back to the Founding Fathers. At the end of the successful American Revolution, the 13 colonies met, and there was one big fear shared among all, the fear of having a too strong government that would have the same power than the crown had on the colonies. Therefore, they created the Electoral College to preserve each colony and its government laws and history, and it then spread throughout the entire United States and became now known as the Electoral College, representing the 50 states of the United States.
But the Electoral College can overturn the popular vote and elect a candidate without the people's consent. This sounds very anti-democratic to me.
Well, surprisingly, the core purpose of the Electoral College is to be undemocratic. Indeed, the Founding Fathers are well known for their fear both from outside and inside. They fear not only an invasion, but they fear also their people's mistakes. They wanted to create a system that would prevent any dictatorship to take place in the United States coming from the people. Let's take, for example, in 1933, when Hitler won the elections in Germany. If that happened in the United States, the Electoral College could then vote next candidate to prevent Hitler from winning the election. Therefore, this would sound entirely undemocratic. Furthermore, the candidate named by the Electoral College could not represent the people, and he will be then eliminating, leaving only the Congress and Senate to reestablish the foundation of a new democracy.
So, going back to your first argument, the electoral votes are distributed by population, one vote per 512,000 people, with a minimum of 3 votes. Therefore, states with very low population are granted more votes, which are taken from more populous states. Don't you think this is unfair?
Well, it is entirely unfair, but it helps to preserve the American Federation. Indeed, each state has its own laws and its own history. Let's take, for example, Alaska. Alaska has less than 1 million citizens, yet Alaska has granted 3 electoral college votes. That means 2 more than she should have. But if we take Alaska in state-wise, it represents more than a fifth of the American territory and more than 20% of the American resources. Therefore, it counterbalances not the population but the outcome and income that Alaska represents in the Federation.
So, if we were to reform the American elections and get rid of the Electoral College, which political system would best preserve both the American identity, heritage, and democracy?
Well, I personally think that the most democratic system that would suit the America would be the German one. Indeed, Germany is a federation and it has many different federal states and has their own kind of electoral college, which is less explicit than the United States. Indeed, the Germans vote for their parliament, and the parliament then elects the chancellor and the president. It keeps the same idea that the Americans have, as the American has with the big representatives and the big electors, but it's more democratic in a way, as the people do not vote for a candidate, and can then for the people's vote cannot be overturned.
Thank you very much for your time. Tune in next week for another interview.
So we want an outside view on this whole presidential election. So we're going to be heading over to the land of the Brits, and we're going to be viewing the UK's, we're going to be seeing the UK's view on the recent election. And we sent our foreign correspondent to interview some UK representatives.
Hello, and thank you for having us today. We will be talking about the reactions from the UK's part to the election, to the recent elections in the US that when Donald Trump got elected.
So I've got a couple of questions to ask. So firstly, what is the main reaction in the UK about Trump winning the US elections?
Well, the general public's opinion on the recent elections were mostly negative because no one was really rooting for Trump in the UK, mm-hmm. mostly because of his recent racist and extreme claims that he made. Therefore, not being popular in the UK, Clinton was who the people rooted for mostly, and not Trump, because she was more human, if you like, and Trump was, he came off a bit too strong.
So also, what about the political people in the UK? What did they say?
Well, it goes to say the same for the political people in the UK. Going from David Cameron to the ex-Prime Minister David Cameron to Theresa May, which is the Prime Minister at the moment. To them, Donald Trump is racist, misogynistic, and wrong. David Cameron, in a parliamentary debate, actually proposed to ban Trump from the UK because of his racist claims. Mm-hmm. And Theresa May backs his claims because of what he said about the Muslims, his extreme claims about them, wanting to ban them from the country. Theresa May, on the contrary, says that he does not understand the relations, the current system in the UK, how the Muslims are, in the community, how they are in the community, and how they respect them, and they're just one family, and that he does not really respect that. They were more for Clinton because she was more of an international person, if you like. She's been to Europe over 60 times, therefore she knows how it works there. Unlike Trump, he doesn't really know what the system's like there, just claiming things. And in Scotland, Trump wasn't very popular either, because, although he wants to build one of the biggest and one of the best golf courses in Scotland, nobody really backs him in the UK, but they look forward to working with him. stating that after Brexit, the relations between the UK and the US will be better, hopefully, increasing trades.
So, just would like to add a question. With Britain leaving the European Union and Donald Trump being elected, what do you think this will affect the global economy? Will there be commerce between them?
Well, I mean, if we look back to the special relations between the UK and the US, hopefully, we're hoping that it will go on. Although Clinton had said that she is in full support of those close relations between the UK and the US, but it looks like Trump will not be backing off. He also claimed that the UK will not be the last on his list, which we will hopefully see an increase in trades between the UK and the US, therefore getting the economy, you know, a boost and making it better.
What about celebrities? Have any British celebrities react to Trump?
Yes, it's the same reaction as everyone, as the general public and as the politicians. Nobody is for it, and, well, we could say they're mourning now that he was elected, but, you know, we just have to accept the fact that he is president now, and hopefully the relations between the US and the UK will go for the better, you know.
Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
So we know that the 2016 US presidential election has been one of the most talked about events in the world. A lot of opinions have been shared on this topic today, and we're going to be listening to two Republicans, Ms. Coatley and Ms. Mensa, debate about whether to serve or not to serve in a government placed under the new president-elect Donald Trump.
Americans have always been idealistic people. They set high standards for themselves and hold firmly to the ideals that they believe to be true, important, and desirable. Even though Americans don't always live up to these ideals or core values, they nevertheless cling to them as a set of basic beliefs on which the American government was founded and continues to operate today. One of the core values is equality, and some of the comments and things that Trump has made about African Americans are just awful and plain racist. If I take part in this, I would be associated to him, and that's not the way I want to be perceived.
But you know, if you hold a government in place, you can do damage control to the things that he has planned to do. The president has the authority to negotiate treaties with other nations. That's the treaty power. These formal international agreements do not go into effect, however, until ratified by 2/3 of vote by the Senate. So you can stop something bad from happening by taking your place as a government or taking a role in the Senate.
I didn't vote for Donald Trump, even though I am a Republican. I carefully studied the background and positions of said candidate, listened closely to the debates, and voted accordingly. Donald Trump was not my choice for the next president of the United States. He has made some very sexist comments. I will not stand with a man like that because we don't share the same life principles. And as a woman, I have too much respect for myself to follow in his lead.
Well, the president selects many people to serve the government in a wide range of offices. Most important among them are ambassadors, members of the Supreme Court and Federal Court, and cabinet secretary. More than 2,000 of this position require confirmation by the Senate under advice and consent provision of the Constitution. You can stop him from taking action based on the things he has said and that you and many people are against.
As a citizen of the United States of America, I will not take part in the ruining and downfall of my country. Donald Trump already has women, African Americans, Mexicans, and Muslims on his back. Me working for him means that I support what he's doing, and I don't. I refuse to take part in this leadership.
The president is authorized to propose legislation. A president usually outlines the administration legislative agenda in the State of the Union address given to joint session of Congress each January. The president's veto power is an important check on Congress. If the president rejects a bill, it takes 2/3 of both houses, which is difficult to achieve. But if you take part in that, it will be one step closer to stopping him from doing what he wants to do. And you can stop something disastrous from happening, and he won't be able to just make irrational decisions. So as we saw, a lot of has happened since the US presidential election. Thank you for joining us on Trollitics 101, and see you tomorrow.